Hi there, this is astrologer DK Brainerd, and you're listening to the Stars for the People Astrology Podcast here on EmpowerRadio.com, empowering you. Well, I got good news for you this week, and in this business, that's a good thing to be able to say, especially lately. So, as you know, if you've been following along with the podcast or over at www.wordsforthepeople.com in the weekly horoscopes, you know, we've been going through this really tremendously intense period for the world as Saturn in Libra and Pluto in Capricorn, Saturn and Libra being two of the heavyweight planets. Pluto, the lord of the underworld. Saturn, the lord of karma, Father Time. Saturn representing authority, constriction, conservatism, following the rules, doing things by the book. And ultimately, if we follow those rules and do things by the book, achieving material success. And Pluto representing, I think Pluto may be one of the least understood archetypes of the zodiac. But in my mind, Pluto represents the world soul, or the soul. And we tend to personalize the soul. You know, from an ego perspective, we tend to say my soul. Where, if you look at it from a broader perspective, such as James Hillman, the father of modern archetypal psychology, would say, you know, the soul has us, rather than I have my soul. It's more like my soul has me, and I'm a version or a lens that my soul has created in this lifetime in order to learn some things and experience some things. And whenever Pluto is active, we're dealing with the whole collective consciousness or collective unconsciousness, you know, on a global level, and then also personally as that manifests through you, so where Pluto's impacting your chart. So with Saturn and Pluto squaring off, Richard Tarnas in Cosmos and Psyche has given it my favorite current label. He calls it cycles of contraction whenever these two planets get together in what's called a hard aspect in astrology. And that's definitely what we're experiencing now. So a lot of us have been feeling this on a personal level as sickness or you know, frustration with not being able to move ahead with plans. Feeling like we know where we're supposed to go, maybe, but we don't have the energy or the resources to make it there. You know, and many people feeling just totally lost, and people that are heavily invested in the old paradigm, which is changing so rapidly between now and 2023 with Pluto and Capricorn, are looking around, and, you know, there's a lot of panic out there. And especially if you're a sensitive, if you're tuned into the energy around you, water signs, or people with, you know, lots of planets in water signs, or in the 4th, 8th, or 12th house, or 7th house as well, house of relationships, you may also be picking up on this collective fear and panic. And, you know, there are things that we can do to protect ourselves, keeping our energy healthy through things like Qigong and Tai Chi and yoga and meditation, grounding, And just awareness, being aware of when we're feeling overwhelmed, when we're feeling tired, and taking time to nurture ourselves. But all that said, it's a really tough time. And we also have to just sort of take it easy and realize that, you know, ultimately all we can do is do the best that we can and make our choices with the best awareness that we have. And then self-love, so important in nurturing. So the good news is that this week, a lot of that energy continues to dissipate, that Saturn-Pluto energy. Now, it's not gone for good. It's going to be back in the summer, and then we're going to add Uranus to the mix, and that's when things could get really dynamic and really interesting. But on Wednesday this week, Saturn retrogrades out of Libra and back into Virgo. So I talk about that in my April video forecast, part 2, and what that might mean for Virgo, Gemini, Sagittarius, and Pisces, especially people born later in those signs. And in the April video forecast, I also mention how that works for the cardinal signs Aries, Cancer, Libra, and Capricorn, who should be getting something of a break. And those of you who have were either born under one of the cardinal signs or have a lot of planets or important points in the cardinal signs are probably feeling this energy even more strongly than the rest of us. So you're starting to get a break now, which is very good news. You know, the energy continues to be intense throughout 2010. It's sort of this up and down roller coaster kind of year. But what I really want to say about this week is enjoy it, because you may still be feeling sort of hungover physically, mentally, emotionally, or spiritually from the last few months. You may not be feeling 100%, or I hope that we're all feeling better, better, and better as the energy sort of picks up and gets a little clearer and a little bit less muddy and a little bit less conflicted. And that's what this week feels like to me. It feels like kind of a spring break type of energy. Now, the moon is waning toward the Aries new moon that's coming up in the middle of the month. And Mercury is beginning to slow down. Mercury will be going retrograde also at the middle of the month. So, you know, we have some other energies going on as usual. But this week we have a couple great astrological aspects that I want to tell you about. So, number one, the sun in Aries. The sun is exalted in Aries. In the northern hemisphere, it's the start of spring. You know, it's this beautiful time of year where the energies are awakening, where we feel enabled to take risks and to really go after what we want. Aries energy is about passion, and it's about self-interest in a way, because Aries energy and Aries people are really here to try to define who am I and what's my identity. And the way they do that, or the way we do that under the sign of Aries, is by doing things that we've never done before. You know, taking risks, starting something new, trying something new, going for it. And then we see how that the world reflects that back to us. And of course, that shows us what we're made of on an internal level, how we react to the world's reaction. So with that Aries energy, that's where we're going to feel most nurtured or most solid or most sort of well-fed, is when we're taking chances and starting something new and really going for what impulsively feels best to us. Aries is a fire sign. So fire signs are all about impulse and creativity and inspiration and spark. And, you know, not so much about logic and what makes sense 40 years from now as far as my retirement goes, but it's what do I feel like my soul really wants from me now? And what would happen if I took a step in that direction, even one step? So that's a great thing to do this week, is get in tune with what feels good to you, what feels like, and you can do this on a visualization level. Great way to work with Aries energy is to sit still, probably not for not very long, because Aries doesn't really like to sit still. But sit still, close your eyes, and if you have a couple choices you're vacillating between, imagine yourself doing each of those things, and then notice which one feels good to you in your body. Notice which one lights you up, and that's where you want to go. And the great thing about the Sun in Aries this week is that, and actually this whole month of Aries, is that we have Mars in the sign of Leo. Mars is the ruler of Aries, and it's in the Sun's sign, because the Sun rules Leo. And the Sun is the ruler of Leo, and it's in Mars's sign. So that's a condition that's called mutual reception in astrology. And it's compared to two friends who are doing a house swap. So say I have an apartment in New York City, and you have this great place on the beach in Tahiti, and you're looking for a little city time, a little culture, you know, a little jazz, going down to the East Village and hanging out. And I'm sick of the city. I need to get out of town and just relax and get away from the intensity and chill out. And we swap houses for a while. So that's considered to be a very empowering sort of communication between the two planets or the two energies. So Mars, again, the energy of the warrior, of assertiveness, of action, of ego drives. And the Sun, which is our solar center, you know, sort of our radiant divinity, our internal energy and the energy of life. And those two are working really, really well together this week. So what we want to do with this energy is do something that feels central or core to us. put our energy into that? What is my impulse leading me toward? And does that feel good and feel like it's in alignment with my life purpose? And then use that Mars and Leo energy to create. And so Leo's creative, it's generous, it's giving, but it also needs appreciation for what it's doing. So Leo's kind of like the precocious child of the zodiac. But there's also this very noble energy. It's associated with kings and queens. And so we can use that creativity and that impulsiveness and combine them in special ways this whole month, which is a very nice thing to have going on. The other big aspect that stands out to me this week is that Mercury and Venus are sort of walking hand in hand through the sign of Taurus. And again, Mercury is going to retrograde in Taurus on April 17th. Taurus is ultimately about what we value, and it has strong connections to the earth, to nature. Taurians and Taurian energy can be very hardworking. It's a fixed sign, so it can be stubborn and sort of fixed in its pursuit of goals and of pleasure. So Taurus energy can be hardworking, but it's always working for the reward. Unlike Capricorn energy, which is working to create success and to make something out of itself so that it can finally feel safe. Or Virgo energy, which is working so that it's not overwhelmed by its neurotic thinking. That would be maybe a slightly negative viewpoint on Virgo. The positive viewpoint is that Virgo is always working for a practical purpose and wants to bring healing and wants to fix things that it sees are out of order. But Taurian energy, it can be hard working, but it's working for the reward. And that reward is usually good food, good sex, good music, good gardens, good time in the earth, getting the fingers in the earth, really just luxuriating in the sunshine and in the luxe or luxuriousness is a really good sort of feel for that Taurian energy. So with Mercury and Venus there, Mercury is the planet of thoughts and communication, and Venus is the ruler of Taurus and is the energy of attractiveness and relationship and art and beauty. Venus, the goddess of beauty, right? So with those two energies there together, Venus-Mercury conjunctions are sort of famous for being silver-tongued. And there can be a negative side of that. I think I remember one of John Frawley's old articles in his wonderful, now defunct magazine, The Astrologer's Apprentice, where he talks about Venus-Mercury as being the sign for the Satan or for the serpent tempting Eve in the garden with the fruit. You know, so you have all this luxuriant imagery, naked, beautiful Eve with her long, flowing hair, and then the serpent, you know, surrounded by all this bountiful goodness in the garden, everything that their hearts desired they could have, right? And then Satan comes up and tempts her with this crispy piece of juicy little succulent apple fruit. Yum. And, I remember Frawley comparing that to the Mercury-Venus conjunction, where Mercury gives us the ability, combined with Venus, to be very graceful and very sort of slippery and eloquent. And then Venus in Taurus, whenever a planet's in its home sign, it has the ability to act with impunity. And traditionally in astrology, that's compared to a person being in his or her own house, you know, so sort of being the master of your own domain. So it's something to pay attention to. You know, how is that Venus acting? Are we acting greedily? The sort of sins of Venus, which would be concupiscence and lust and venereal disease. Venereal is an adjective that comes from the word Venus. So being the result of unbridled lust or whatever. So that's something to watch out for. Are we being greedy? Are we being too self-indulgent? But on the other hand, what that Mercury-Venus energy can do is it really can help us attract what we want and what we need in the area of our life that's ruled by Taurus. And to find that out, look at where Taurus is in your birth chart, you know, and then whatever house that's in, you want to look up the symbolism of that. So seventh house, it would be attracting relationships, and that was, you know, that would be a great example for Scorpios this week. With Mercury Venus in your seventh house, you're going to be able to attract the kind of whatever you're thinking about Mercury, you're going to attract that, and you're going to see some real instant karma going on. With Leo, Venus and Mercury fall in your solar 10th house this week. And so whatever you're thinking about, you're going to be attracting in career matters. So it's a really powerful energy, and even more so because, especially at the beginning of the week, Venus and Mercury make a trine, which is a wonderful sort of harmonious flowing energy pattern to Pluto and Capricorn. And we've talked a lot about Pluto and Capricorn and this great world transition that we're going through between now and 2023. But I really see this as an opportunity to notice that what we're thinking about in relation to our values is actually manifesting now. And it may not be always immediate. The fixed signs are sort of like Taurus, or sort of notorious for being slow to change. And so you may want to look back at whatever's happening in your life right now and see how that's a reflection of what you were thinking about 3 weeks ago or 3 months ago or 10 years ago. And then realize that when you shift those thoughts now, and especially when you align them with that Pluto and Capricorn mandate that we're all under to evolve, evolve or die is the way I look at that energy. When you align those with the world situation and saying, you know, what the world needs is healing, and what we need to do is stop spending our time tearing down and railing against what we perceive to be wrong, you know, whether it's the healthcare bill or whether it's the economy or whether it's the war in Iraq or Afghanistan, and instead start focusing our energy on creating what is new and beautiful and useful and creating the structures that are going to be there when this old order inevitably collapses, as it's going to over the next 15 to 30 years. You know, and I mean, that's just the astrological. If you look back at the previous Pluto and Capricorn cycles, you can see this repeated by clockwork, the old dominant world order crumbling, and or at least fading way into the background, into the underground, and then this new paradigm taking shape. So I feel like this is a positive week. You know, whether you're in the Northern Hemisphere or in the Southern Hemisphere, when you've got Taurus energy coming to the forefront, you want to get out in nature and enjoy the sunshine. Enjoy, you know, we saw Jenny and I saw the first daffodil sprouting in the backyard this morning, you know, and enjoy that energy of things blooming and focusing on that with Mercury, Venus, and Taurus, focusing on nature and on natural processes, on how just taking that in and vibing with that can really, really help your thinking and can really help you to focus on, well, what's trying to bloom and grow in my life? And then let's put our focus there so we really encourage that goodness. Okay, so I hope that you found this useful and enjoyable. This is astrologer DK Brainerd welcoming you to come on over to www.wordsforthepeople.com. I'll have a link to both of my April video forecasts, part one and part two, posted on the site on Monday. And of course, you always have your free weekly horoscopes every Monday. So come on over and join us. You can also join the discussion on Facebook. There's a link at the bottom of the horoscopes page on the website to my Facebook fan page. And we've got an awesome community, 700 strong and growing, people chiming in on all sorts of subjects. So you're welcome to come on over there as well. I hope you have a wonderful, blessed week. And until next time, may you go with the stars.